Spiritual Instruction of Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi, 8th Edition, Chapter 1, Introduction. Number 1. What are the marks of a real teacher? Steady obedience in the self, looking at all with an equal eye, unshakable courage at all times, in all places and in all circumstances. Number 2. What are the marks of an earnest discipline? An intense longing for the removal of sorrow and attainment of joy, and an intense aversion for all kinds of mundane pleasure. Number 3. What are the characteristics of instruction? The word upadesa means near the place or seat. The guru who is the embodiment of that is which is indicated by the terms existence, consciousness, and bliss. Prevents the disciplined who, on the account of his acceptance of the forms of the objects of the senses, has swerved from his true state and is consequently distressed and buffeted by joys and sorrows, from the continuing so, and establishes him in his own real nature without differentiation. Upadesa also means showing a distant object quite near. It is brought home to the discipline that is the Brahma himself, which he believes to be distant and different from himself, is near and not different from himself. Number 4. If it be true that the guru is one, his own self, Atman, what is the principle underlying of the doctrine, which he says that, however learned a discipline may be, or whatever occult powers he may possess, he cannot attain self-realization without the grace of the Guru. Although in absolute truth, the state of the Guru is that of oneself, it is very hard for the self, which has become the individual soul, through ignorance to realize its true state or nature without the grace of the Guru. All mental concepts are controlled by the mere presence of the real Guru. If he were to say one who arrogantly claims that he has seen the further shore of the ocean of learning, or one who claims arrogantly that he can perform deeds which are well nigh impossible, yes, you learned all that is to be learned, but have you learnt to know yourself? And you who are capable of performing the deeds which are impossible, have you seen yourself? They will bow at their heads in shame and remain silent. Thus it is evident that only by the grace of the Guru and by no other accomplishment is it possible to know oneself. Number 5. What are the marks of the Guru's grace? It is beyond words or thoughts. Number 6. If that is so, how is it that it should be said that the disciple realizes his true state by the Guru's grace? It is like the elephant which wakes upon seeing a lion in its dream. Even as the elephant wakes up at the mere sight of the lion, so too is it certain that the disciple wakes up in the sleep of ignorance into the wakefulness of the true knowledge through the Guru's benevolent look of grace. Number 7. What is the significance of saying that the nature of the true Guru is that of the Supreme Lord? In the case of the individual soul which desires to attain the state of true knowledge or the state of godhood, and with that object always practices devotion when the individual's devotion has reached a mature stage, the Lord who has witnessed of that individual soul and identical with it comes forth in human form with the help of Sat, Chit, Ananda, his three natural features, and form and name which he also graciously assumes, and in the guise of blessing the disciple, absorbs him in himself. According to this doctrine, the Guru can truly be called the Lord. Number 8. How then did some great persons attain knowledge without a Guru? To a few mature persons, the Lord shines as the light of knowledge and imparts awareness of the truth. Number 9. What is the end of devotion and the path of Siddhanta? It is to learn the truth that all one's actions performed with unselfish devotion, with the aid of three purified instruments, body, speech, and mind, in the capacity of the servant of the Lord, become the Lord's actions, and to stand forth free from the sense of I and mine. This is also the truth of what the Shaiva Siddhantins call Parabhakti, supreme devotion, or living in the service of God. Number 10. What is the end of the path of knowledge? It is to know the truth that the I is not different from the Lord, and to be free from the feeling of the doer. Number 11. How can it be said that the end of both of these paths is the same? Whatever the means, this destruction of the sense I and mine is the goal. And these are interdependent. The destruction of either of them causes the destruction of the other. Therefore, in order to achieve the state of silence, which is beyond thought or word, either the path of knowledge, which removes the sense of I, or the path of devotion, which removes the sense of mine, will suffice. So there is no doubt that the other end of the paths of devotion and knowledge is one and the same. Number 12. The individual soul of the form of I is the ego. The self, which is of the nature of intelligence, has no sense of I, nor does the incident body possess an I. The mysterious appearance of the delusive ego between the intelligence and the insentient, being the root cause of all these troubles. Upon its destruction by whatever means, that which really exists will be seen as it is. This is called liberation.